Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at TriCountyContractingWI.com.
Yep, 81 degrees.
Wow.
All right.
Yeah, the record was 84, though, so shy of that, but who cares? Back-to-back 80-degree days. Kind of feel like we're on vacation.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
326,000. That's how many people have already voted in Wisconsin. Big number. 2 weeks out today from Election Day, November 5th. It's about 10% if you look at the 2020 election turnout. We had about 3.2 million votes cast in Wisconsin overall. And 326,000 have already come in via absentee. Those would be the mail-in or drop-off at the drop box or delivered directly to your clerk of that variety. Today, what we commonly refer to as early voting begins. It is technically in-person absentee voting, or IPAV, as the Wisconsin Elections Commission is now defining it. Nice little acronym. First time I've seen that used.
Otherwise known as IPAV.
Commonly referred to as IPAV. Everybody knows.
You guys IPAVing today?
Yes. It means what you're doing is voting absentee, just like having a ballot mailed to your home, except in this case, you are completing the entire process right there. Mm-hmm. You get the envelope, you get the ballot. The clerk or poll worker who's working on behalf of the clerk serves as your witness. You do the vote, you cast the ballot, you seal the envelope, and then it's collected on site. It's not counted until Election Day, but they keep it there. Where, when, and even what on site means varies by community. So legally, IPAV can begin today in Wisconsin, subject to local rules set by your municipal clerk. So city, town, village clerk sets the hours, sets the dates, sets the times for in-person absentee voting. It is allowed in Wisconsin from today through next Sunday. So not this weekend, but the following week, Sunday, November 3rd. And again, I said allowed because, for example, here in Milwaukee today, the city will launch 10 sites where you can vote in person. One of them is right there across from City Hall at the Zeidler Building. Five of them are even open on Sundays. So Saturdays and Sundays, so you have weekend voting opportunities and longer hours in Milwaukee. In Waukesha, different hours, no weekends, largely 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. The one exception is on the final Friday, November 1st, where they will extend to 5 p.m. But you don't have an opportunity to vote on the weekend in Waukesha. And that's all at City Hall.
I remember voting, doing this once, the IPAV thing for an election probably 4 or 8 years ago or whatever. And it actually seemed like a election day because there was a line and everything. It was like waiting. I probably was there at least 15 minutes waiting in line. And that was for in-person absentee.
And that's the Falls. You live in Menominee Falls, mm-hmm. right? So, yeah, and depending on what time you go and the setup is, right, it's going to be different everywhere.
Get a sticker.
As for if you're hoping to have a mail-in ballot still sent to you and you want to mail it back, you have to get on that like today. The legal deadline for requesting an absentee ballot by mail is next week Thursday. Do the math on that. Wisconsin Elections Commission is all but saying you will not get your vote in on time if you wait that long. Absentee ballots have to make it back by the clerk's office 8 p.m. on election day for it to count. So it takes time for them to process the request, to get it out to you by the mail, and you have to send it back by mail unless you want to drop it off. But if that's how you plan to vote, Wisconsin Elections Commission is saying, do not wait to the legal deadline. Mm-hmm. It probably won't work out for you. IPAV, in-person absentee voting, begins today, mostly, as I've detailed. 7:14, sports is up next.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Packers have the Jaguars coming up on the road Sunday. Much has been made of that winning kick to walk it off against the Texans just the other day.
He's got this to win it. Low snap, the kick. It is good.
CBS Sports' Jim Nance on the call. Let me take you inside that moment, in the mind of head coach Matt LaFleur. LaFleur saying that, you know, as his kicker who'd been with the team for a cup of coffee, this is the new guy
Not
we got.
Not even they worked half him a
out,
cup.
Right? They worked him out on Tuesday. He's on the team as of Wednesday. There he is lining up for win or lose moment. And LaFleur says all he's thinking is, never should have come down to this.
Yeah, I think a lot of times when you're just Rolodexing all the mistakes that you made or miss-ops to kind of put yourself in that position. So never want to put somebody in that position. But
I think that's a human moment for LaFleur right there, admitting, like, a lot of us as fans do that too. Like, I should have come down to this, you know. Looking at all the chances that you had or missed opportunities. So still there was confidence, though, on the sideline. LaFleur here mentions special teams assistant coach Byron Stoner, who'd been working with this newly acquired kicker, Brandon McManus, through the week.
Now, we're fortunate that he's been in those situations before. So I know somebody was standing next to Byron, and Byron's like, yeah, no problem. He's gonna make it. So, yeah, I think we had a lot of confidence in him.
When's the last time you felt like that?
Right. It's like, been a bit.
He's going to make it.
Can you
right?
imagine if Nervison was taking that at the end of that game? How would you have felt about that?
Real bad. Real bad. Noon kick on Sunday in Jacksonville.
Speaking of kickers.
Clutch. Right down the middle. And Arizona grinds out a hard-earned physical victory over LA.
Yeah, last second field goal wins it on ESPN there. Cardinals beat the Chargers on Monday Night Football 17-15. For the other game, it was Ravens and Buccaneers. Ravens' Lamar Jackson made NFL history. He threw as many touchdowns as incompletions. He threw five incompletions and five touchdowns as the Ravens beat the Buccaneers 41-31. The Bucs start their season tomorrow night in Philadelphia. No Chris Middleton to start the season. He's recovering from ankle surgeries. Can the Bucs return to glory, Brandon Snide?
It may be a new season for the Milwaukee Bucs, but the expectations will remain the same. Giannis coming in healthy. Damian Lillard having a full offseason. Hopefully you get Chris Middleton back at some point in the season. A couple of key acquisitions throughout the course of the offseason. And those expectations are simple. Championship or bust. The excuses for this team have run out. It is time to show up.
All right, Brandon will be on with Justin Garcia. A very special two-hour Buck season preview show tonight on WTMJ. Starts at 7 p.m. Then tomorrow, game one. Tip off at 6:30. Our coverage at 6 o'clock.
How much longer does this nice weather hold? Talk live with Storm Team 4 Chief Meteorologist Brian Nisnansky as we look ahead to what might be another pretty decent fall weekend. That's next on Wisconsin's Morning News. At 7:22 on a Tuesday morning, today's forecast partly to mostly cloudy. Chance early this evening of an isolated shower and a high of 72 degrees. Low down to 51 tonight as we bring in Storm Team 4 Chief Meteorologist Brian Nisnansky. Dude, did we hit 80 yesterday or no?
Yep, 81 degrees.
Wow. All right.
Yeah, the record was 84, though, so shy of that. But who cares? Back-to-back 80-degree days. Kind of feel like we're on vacation. A friend of mine, he was out on the golf course, texted me, his name's Tom, and he's like, these are like little gifts that you're giving us, Brian.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, well, thank you. Yeah.
Every time I have that experience, I feel like we stole one. It's relevant, Niz, because after last week's 80, Eric said, that's it, we're done. And I said, no, we got two. I said, two more 80s in it yet this season.
Did not see that coming.
Didn't think we'd get it in 1 week.
See, never say never. Everybody, it's like a mindset that we all have, including myself, where you feel like, you know, like weather should be this all the time. Like, you know, in your head, you have a picture of what the weather really should be. And that's what it typically is. But you're always going to have these little blips. However, we've had more little blips than usual this fall. It has been an incredible stretch.
I do think fall colors like popped overnight. So there was, was that because of the freeze or?
Yeah, a couple, you know, before we really warmed up, we had a couple of those mornings where, you know, you dipped into the 30s, some places even the 20s, and that finally allowed things to pop. Still a little behind schedule, especially here in Milwaukee. However, I do think in the coming nights, when we start to cool down again, we start to get at least into the 40s again, I think our turn is coming. I anticipate peak color northwest of Milwaukee pretty much now and over the next couple of days. And then Milwaukee probably not going to be until sometime next week.
I can't get over the number of bugs that are now everywhere, Brian. Like, there's a White House in our neighborhood that looked a different color because there's so many ladybugs.
That house is moving.
Like, what is happening? And this warm weather, I'm assuming, is helping with that.
It is. And I think it's a cumulative effect. Like the south side of my house, you're exactly right. The stink bugs, the box elders, I mean, just completely, you know, covering, especially when the sun is shining. I think it is cumulative, whereas maybe we didn't get a complete, and I'm not an expert at this, but I can only tell you, you know, weather-wise, what could be a factor. You know, we obviously had a no winter last year. We have been incredibly warm, you know, much of this year. And I think that is having an effect. Maybe there wasn't a complete kill off last year. You know, whether they're able to produce more bugs, I don't know. But yes, I mean, the correlation, I think, is probably pretty clear. And we're not imagining it. It is pretty crazy.
When do you have trick or treat by you? You guys, you're Grafton, so you go day of, right? Halloween?
Yeah, no, we're Saturday.
Oh,
we're,
nice. We're all right, not, so a lot of communities are going to be this weekend. What do you see?
Yeah, this weekend looks great. Like, temperatures this weekend, not going to be 80 degrees again, but right now it looks dry, and it looks like highs around 60, which is totally manageable. At least your kid doesn't have to put on a winter coat, like, over the costume.
worst ever.
It's snowed on.
Yeah. So, like, hopefully that holds. You know, it looks like a great fall weekend. I mean, I think a lot of people, even though we love the, 80 degrees, like, something about, like, you know, needing that extra fleece and standing around a fire, or, you know, hot chocolate, or, you know, maybe a little something added to it. You know, there's
something. What are you
something,
talking about?
A little something in there?
You know, is part of Halloween, you know?
So it
would be
cider.
A little bit strange if we're walking around in 80 degrees on trick-or-treat.
No, you want to wear your sweater to the pumpkin patch. You don't want to go out there in short sleeves.
Yeah, absolutely. And right now it looks like a good standard fall weekend. We're Saturday. I don't know about you guys, but like it seems like a growing thing too. Like, we're neighborhoods, like, it depends on the neighborhood, but we got a lot of people kind of same age, same amount of kids, that it's turned into almost a block party.
Oh yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome.
I have mixed feelings on that.
Love, like, that. Oh, you would. I have mixed feelings on people having a good time at a holiday.
Especially if it's during the game, you know, like, oh, it's another noon kick. If you got the noon to three.
Oh, they'll do it on a Sunday.
Ding, ding.
Okay, I thought it was like a Saturday.
Well, you know what also is very important about trick-or-treat, Vinny, is it's one of your last opportunities of a good show-mo.
Oh.
You know?
Actually, that's not true. I think Vince would push it to Thanksgiving.
But to Niz's point, boy, it's going to be on display, let me tell you. And I am already tracking out exactly a primo and the show-mo.
All right.
We're going to top it off on that Sunday morning in Greendale. It's going to be.
We need a little bit of rain, though.
If you're coming by the Vetrano house, look at that lawn.
But stay off it. Don't you go cutting across the lawn. You better put up stakes.
Yeah, we can have a special, right? It's staked off, like, at the ballpark.
Yeah.
You know, walk over here. That's a good
use
tip.
Use the
put up police tape. It'll look like a holiday, Halloween decoration.
All right, Niz. Thanks, my friend.
Yep. See you guys.
Punt team needs a little bit of work for the Green Bay Packers, or punt return team, I should say. Matt LaFleur asked a reporter, "Oh yeah, well, what would your coaching points be?" Well, we'll offer a few coming up in sports at 7:45.
Federal aviation specialists are now beginning their investigation into that deadly helicopter crash that happened near downtown Houston, the helicopter hitting an antenna tower. Investigators now asking the public for help.
Residents of the neighborhood adjacent to the crash site have come forward with debris from the demolished Robinson R-44 helicopter and with home security video that captured the moment the aircraft collided with a 1,000-foot-tall broadcast tower. That video does show at least one anti-collision beacon flashing on the tower above the point where the copter made contact. All four people aboard, including a child, were killed. No one on the ground was hurt. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
Now, you made a point. Obviously, you've been in the helicopter countless times, but there's no way a pilot wouldn't know that that antenna was there.
Yeah, and Jim answered one of the questions I had was, were the light bulbs, the beacons, the sort of red flashers on there
at least one
working?
Was
so at least one was there and working. But right to your question, when I flew in Chopper 4, like, every pilot I was with, even when we had pilots who were new or not familiar with the area initially, they always knew where those high points were, whether it's around downtown, whether it's around, you know, we have that complex of radio towers on the east side,
yep.
Other spots. They were always very well aware of where those were. And if they were going to be anywhere near them, which they typically didn't want to be, they knew a safe distance to stay anyway. So typically it was just not a spot you would be. I don't know why a tourist helicopter would be anywhere near that,
right,
either. And a pilot experienced enough to know the area and have been taken around why you're in that area to begin with, regardless of whether the lights were working. And then that obviously is a question that has been answered, at least one of them. So Really curious to see how this investigation turns out, because I have no explanation as to how this can happen. 7:39, this report brought to you by Steinhoffels. Visit them at steinhoffels.com.
Lots going on today overseas. The Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, is in Israel meeting with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
On Gaza, U.S. officials say they want to take advantage of the killing of Hamas leader Yahya Sinwar to push the conflict towards some kind of resolution, as well as focus on the lack of aid reaching the most desperate areas of northern Gaza.
Yeah, could the death of Yahya Sinwar there from ABC's Tom Sufi Burridge, could that be enough to maybe push to a ceasefire?
Blinken also focusing on the other major front in this war in Lebanon, again pushing for a diplomatic solution. But IDF operations there are also escalating. Israel now targeting buildings linked to a Hezbollah-affiliated financial organization and also striking overnight near a hospital.
And don't forget, Vince, they still have the retaliatory strike that Israel is planning. And the U.S.
on Iran.
Yes, on Iran. And U.S. obviously wants to be involved in those conversations.
Crucially, Secretary Blinken will also be discussing Israel's plans to launch a retaliatory strike against Iran and the fear this could turn into all-out war between the two countries.
How does that go about? You just sit down. So, what you thinking?
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
Yeah, right? Honestly, I mean that sincerely. Like, how do you go about that process? And by the way, there's news that some of that may have leaked, or at least somehow been released, because some of it was posted online after getting it from the U.S. intel.
And the relationship strained between these two allies. And if I were Netanyahu sitting down with Blinken this week, and I would probably be saying, yeah, you guys wanted a ceasefire weeks ago. And if we had done that, we wouldn't have killed this Hamas leader. This murderous tyrant terrorist would still be alive if we followed your plan, America. So thanks for the advice, but we'll take it from here. And I'm not suggesting that's right or wrong, but if I were him, I would say that out loud. Mm-hmm. And that puts a further strain on, you know, whatever the U.S. wants to tell Israel it's supposed to do next.
This is Blinken's 11th trip to the region since last October.
I mean, he's trying. 7:45 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Packers 5-2 did get the win, of course, Sunday. But, you know, we're going to nitpick because we're fans and that's
Ball's
what we
touched.
Do.
It hit Ballantyne, the Packer.
I think this is going to go to the Texans.
Correct on both counts, Tony Romo and Jim Nantz there on the call. Yes, it did hit Ballantyne, the Packer. And yes, the Texans did recover.
Mm-hmm.
CBS Sports there. Punt return, not a good unit for the Packers on Sunday. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur asked by a reporter what the coaching points would be moving forward on a couple of big mistakes.
On the punt returns, obviously, I'm sure neither of those guys wanted that to happen, but what's the coaching point for Keyshawn and Jaden on those? I have different situations, obviously, though. Like, what do you
think? What do you think the coaching point would be, Bill? What would you tell them?
What do you think it would be?
I don't know if I like that response.
It was all in good fun. Like, okay, I listened to the rest and, like, okay, it was all right. But since he asked, I would tell Keyshawn Nixon to catch that ball.
Yes.
The rest of the team to get the hell out of the way. I'd tell Jaden Reed not to catch a punt at the 1 yard line.
Over your shoulder.
Right? No kidding. So there is that.
I think he just obviously lost track of where he was because, I mean, that's a no brainer. You let that ball go when you get too far inside that 10 yard line. So obviously two big mistakes that we have got to get corrected.
And well, plenty to clean up, but as has been stated, the Packers did get that win without playing their best ball, and we'll take it. Next up, it's a noon kick on the road against the Jaguars.
Two Monday night football games on Monday night. The Cardinals outlast the Chargers thanks to a last-second field goal, 17-15, and the Ravens. Lamar Jackson throws five tutties as the Ravens beat the Buccaneers 41-31. Bucks start their season tomorrow in Philadelphia. No Chris Middleton to start the season. He's recovering from ankle surgeries, so what does this year look like to you, WDTMJ's Brandon Snide?
I expect big things out of Giannis and Dame this season. The two have played 65 games together and have won 44 of them. The ownership and general manager John Horst have done everything for this team to be successful on the court. The pressure lies on the shoulders of Doc Rivers, Giannis, and Dame, and of course, Chris Middleton. The biggest question mark for this team, though, is can they stay healthy? They haven't been out of the first round since 2022. No more excuses this year. Done. Zip. Nada. None. begun. That faint sound you're beginning to hear off in the distance is the Milwaukee Bucks championship window beginning to slowly close.
No, we're not there yet, are we? Brandon and Justin Garcia have a two-hour Bucks season preview show tonight, 7 p.m. right here on WTMJ. And, of course, game one of the season tomorrow night in Philly. Tip-off at 6:30. Our coverage at 6 o'clock.
Mark Tauscher next on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Idea Man.
They feel like this guy can come in and he's a better kicker than what they had, and they can help this team win.
Innovator.
I still think he's going to be aggressive until McManus proves that he can make a bunch of 45-yard field goals plus.
I hope we see that on Sunday then.
And Packers Hall of Famer.
Just came here on Wednesday. He's got this to win it. Low snap, the kick.
It's time for Tausch on Wisconsin's Morning News. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and Kohler Services.
Mark Tausch on Wisconsin's Morning News is sponsored by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Down the field, intercepted. And a fifth straight game. McKinney has an interception again.
Yes, but that was a couple of weeks ago, Tausch.
Yeah, what's going on?
Very disappointing play by Xavier McKinney. two straight weeks of drought, no picks.
I know. It's I don't want to say Bill Stead has cursed him since he's kind of crowned himself the bowl king, but even with all that, I think Xavier McKinney obviously has been a monster piece, and I could not have been more encouraged about what we saw on Sunday, even with the fact the biggest highlight so far defensively has been the way Jeff Hafley has put his guys in position to create turnovers, and that's been such a critical part. Last week it was much more about, man, we have a really good chance to be really good outside of creating turnovers. That obviously didn't happen Sunday, but you're talking about one of the best young quarterbacks in the NFL that has moved the football and put up a lot of points. And was there ever a point in that game that you felt like Houston was going to move the ball consistently? Mm. They ran it a little bit with Mixon, but if we got them to third and four plus, and I thought one of the more telling things on Sunday, here you have this young, confident quarterback, and he went off to the sideline. I saw at least once he fired his helmet, and it looked like he knew nothing was happening. It looked like if it got to third and five, their offense was in big trouble. And that is such a great reflection of where Jeff Hafley and obviously Xavier McKinney and the entire crew. But, man, he had it working on Sunday.
Can I ask you this about McKinney? You can avoid a corner if you're an offense or a quarterback, right? You can just say, we're never throwing in Jair Alexander's direction because oftentimes they're lined up in man and you know exactly where that is. Is it possible to avoid throwing at a safety just due to the nature of that position? That person's supposed to help here and help there. I don't know how you throw away from a safety.
You can't. You can obviously. There were times when I played, we would look at when we played the Pittsburgh Steelers. Troy Polamalu. All right. You better know where he is at all times. I think Xavier McKinney, the other day, it looked like he was just lined up outside in the slot, and then he kind of crept in, and nobody blocked him. Obviously can't happen. And I thought, to answer your question, Vinny, listening to Belichick last night on the Manning Cast talk about Ed Reed, who was another great safety, and I'm not ready to put Xavier McKinney in that category yet. I certainly hope I can, but You darn right, you better know where they are, because the last thing you can do is throw over the middle and McKinney's going to pick the football off. You have to. It limits offensively. It at least gets in the quarterback's head like, oh, well, that's open over the middle, but can I actually make that throw? And then even if you do decide to make that throw, you maybe force it a little bit more and make it where you have to throw it more perfectly. And that gets into your head. So anytime you can make the quarterback think for an extra second, I think Xavier McKinney is on that track, even though he's been sloughing off a little bit with zero picks the last couple weeks.
Total
zero
sloughing picks, off.
2 weeks in a row.
So disappointing. Terrible. Hey, what's our final thought on the whiteout, on the white uniforms? Is this a success? Is this a one and done? What do we think?
I love the whiteout in the stands. I thought that, and I was a big skeptic. Like, why would you do this when it's warm. I mean, granted, it's crazy warm. It's 70-something. Yep. But I thought it was a raging success. I don't want the Packers to ever go away from the tradition, the traditional colors. I think that always has to. But I'm an old-school cat, and I like to keep things, you know, right down here. But I also have to recognize, I think players love it. I think the social media team and the marketing and the branding, that stuff is all really important too. And I think all in all, it was a raging success as far as you don't want to mix it in too much. You want it to be a standout special deal. And I think the players loved it. And the fact that, you know, especially on the defensive side of the ball, they played as well as they did. I think you keep rolling with it. You do it once a year.
Okay, so maybe next year when they're celebrating, what, like 180 years of playing football or whatever Green Bay is at, do they do the leather?
I feel
leather...
like that's a little bit longer than it's been around.
A little bit.
Do they wear the leather-looking helmets like Illinois had this past weekend where it actually
looked
like...
Yeah, I didn't like that.
You didn't like it? No, it actually looked like
no,
they were
I did not. I thought
hats.
It looked super... So here's the deal. If you want to do that, just go with leather hats. Go with those. If we really want to go back old school in it, you know, there was a time when I was playing and concussions first started kind of coming on and people actually caring about it. There was talk of, well, if you take the face mask off, people will stop leading with the helmet. That never passed, and I think that's probably a good thing because I do think that probably helps. But the leather helmets, let's keep that for Illinois. I don't think we need to mess with that here in Green Bay.
I thought that was an ugly uni. I'm with you on that, Tom. Oh. I never liked the throwbacks. I think they always look ugly.
Well, I'm always going to be keep it the traditional way, but, yeah, the throwbacks, and it was always, as a player, you'd be like, just wait a second. You're going to color the face mask gray? I am such a, you know, players are neurotic. Now I got to do this. And you already have enough stuff to worry about. I don't need to be worrying, am I wearing a belt? Am I going to end up going with a different helmet? The whole thing. Players just want to play, but again, I'm not fashion forward. A lot of these guys are.
Well, it's a good thing they're not golfers. They actually choose a whole outfit. Thanks, Tausch.
See you guys.
7:59 on Wisconsin's Morning News.